I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, Luis Leon was detained for 2 weeks when he tried to cross the border without papers. He's one of the young undocumented immigrants known as the Dream Nine, and we'll hear from him in just a few minutes. First, though, we're having a surprisingly beautiful August here in Washington, D.C., and most politicians aren't here to enjoy it. The president is vacationing at Martha's Vineyard, and Congress is on recess until early September. In the meantime, representatives who are normally on the Hill are now at home in their districts and in the states that elected them. So we wanted to look in on a couple of those districts and find out how some key political issues are playing out in their hometowns. Mike Leary is with us. He's the editor of the San Antonio Express News, and also Dana Caulfield is the city editor at the Denver Post. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
So let's get right to it, Mike. It's not really surprising that immigration would be a big issue in San Antonio. I think you guys are about, what, say 2.5 hours from the border? About that? How's the
Some places even closer.
Depending on how far south you go. How has the debate changed in your town, or has it changed, since they started discussing immigration reform in D.C.?
Well, I think there has been some pace of change. Obviously, San Antonio is not only close to the border, but it's about two-thirds Latino. And this is one of the bluer parts of Texas that Obama won Bexar County in both elections. I think one real change since the Latino vote was so important in 2012 was you have somebody like Representative Lamar Smith, who is a very powerful figure on Capitol Hill, who our columnist Brian Chasnoff reported just a couple of weeks ago had told a local Latino rights group that the DREAM Act was something he could consider voting for. When pressed on that, his staff issued a statement saying, modifying that a little bit, that basically saying that people brought here through no fault of their own was the statement. Should get some sort of a visa, and exactly what that ought to be wasn't specified. But
we should mention that Lamar
change.
Smith is a Republican from
yes.
Texas representative. I think he represents the 21st district. Let me go to you, Dana, then. You guys are quite a bit further away from the border. Is the immigration debate in Colorado different?
We don't seem to be waiting around so much for Washington to take action. We have been seeing different types of progress on the ground, including in our last legislative session passing provisional driver's licenses for people who are here undocumented. One of our colleges enacted a tuition program for kids who would qualify for deferred action status before that even existed. So we have a lot of action on the sort of social level. Our federal representatives are at the forefront of immigration reform, and even our Republicans are sort of coming around to a place where they have acknowledged that some action needs to be taken. But Senators Bennett and Udall have been at the forefront of this.
Well, Mike, Texas is still a red state at this point, although you're in a blue kind of polka dot down there in San Antonio.
That's right.
How do people in Texas feel, and in San Antonio especially, feel about the way immigration is being handled in D.C.?
Well, I think there's a real split, obviously, in places like San Antonio, the Rio Grande Valley, where people are largely of Mexican origin. I think they're very much in favor of immigration reform. They would like to see more rapid reform, actually, than the 13 years and linked to border security. I think in much of the rest of Texas, there is not that attitude. In fact, it's the polar opposite. But there have been traditionally some areas, for example, in terms of education and college tuition, that this was an area that Rick Perry in the Republican primaries in 2012, where Mitt Romney got to the right of him, But by and large, I think overall in Texas, it's still a very red state, and folks here are opposed to rapid change.
If you're just joining us, we're checking in with regional newspaper editors Dana Caulfield of the Denver Post and Mike Leary of the San Antonio Express News. Let's move on to a topic that's not really being discussed in D.C. right now, and that would be the environment. Mike, I know your paper has been writing about the now 3-year-long drought in Central Texas. What's the status of the weather there?
Well, it's been 100 degrees pretty consistently the last few weeks. We did actually have a major 14-inch rain event in May that flooded parts of San Antonio, but that was really an anomaly. That the this is a place where they measure the height of the aquifer every day, and it's down. And some places, smaller towns, not San Antonio, have changed their watering regulations.
How far down is the aquifer?
Well, it's basically it's 633 feet, and they'd like it, you know, 660, 670. This is the time of year when it goes down because of irrigation. But realistically, it's not just the aquifer. It's the Guadalupe River, which runs right through San Antonio or adjacent to San Antonio, is basically dried up. And we ran a picture of a hydrologist a couple days ago standing in the dry riverbed looking for a trickle of water.
Wow.
Couldn't find it. Some of our major recreational lakes are down around 5% of their normal depth, and we have it better than some places. For example, in Brownsville and in the Rio Grande Valley, they're looking at potentially reprocessed wastewater for drinking and other purposes, and that's true also in parts of West Texas.
Wow.
And this comes at a time when there's a huge demand for water because we've had an enormous oil boom, and that's uses a lot of water in the hydraulic fracturing process.
Right. Well, let me go to you, Dana, because obviously water is a big issue in Colorado as there, and you've also had a very destructive fire season. What's the conversation among the people there where you are?
Well, we have had sort of a turnaround in terms of the extremity of the drought this year. We've been having quite a bit of rain and as a result, pretty massive flooding in our fire zones. But down in southeastern Colorado, which conveniently touches Texas, I think, we're in near Dust Bowl conditions, and we're seeing photography from farmers and ranchers in that area that rivals what you saw during the actual Dust Bowl of the 30s. Our water situation is somewhat similar to, it sounds like, to what happens in Texas. We rely on snow runoff, and at the beginning of the season, we were very, very concerned. But, you know, the skies opened up. We had 7 feet of snow. Things looked better. It got hot. And then all of a sudden, all of Colorado was on fire. So we are constantly talking about climate. We're constantly talking about the interface between what we call the WUI, the wildland-urban interface. And this is the place where people move to Colorado. They want to live in the mountains. They're want to be in the forest, and they don't want to cut the trees down next to their homes. So there are increasing numbers of people who are at great risk for losing their homes as a result of the climatic condition and the sort of resistance to acknowledging that they are in that fire zone.
I should mention that Colorado, I don't think Colorado ever touches Texas. I think Oklahoma sticks its little finger
in between
Colorado and the Panhandle, but they do get very, very close. It's a short drive. And, you know, Dana, I have to ask you about something going on there. There's been reports that an area in northeastern Colorado actually attempted to secede and form their own state. Can you explain what happened?
It's not over yet. We still may see this on the fall ballot in 10 northeastern Colorado counties. And this has its origins at the feeling that people who live in rural areas are not being adequately represented in our state house. This is a huge area of Colorado with a very small population base, but it's also a mighty economic engine. And they're upset about issues related to the regulation of oil and gas exploration in the northeastern part of the state. They're upset by our new gun laws that were passed in the spring. They're troubled by some of the social issues that were approved in the state house, including acknowledgement of domestic partnerships. So it's a really interesting thing that's going on. However, we did send a bunch of interns out to each of these counties to sort of find out, is this a political topic that we're talking about, or are people on the ground really upset and want to be part of a 51st state? And the fact is that a lot of people are quite upset. They're worried about their water. They are worried about oil and gas. They are worried about agriculture and the drought conditions. And yet many of them say they believe that creating another state is just the wrong path to go down. So it'll be on the ballot in the fall in maybe, I'm guessing, when it's over 6 or 7 counties.
What would we do without interns? Mike, we only have about a minute left, but when you say secede, most people think of Texas, right? Is this still an issue there?
No, not really. I think when Rick Perry ran for president the last time, the governor, that was clearly not part of his agenda. He'd kind of nodded a little bit when there was earlier talk. You may have seen a petition was filed, signed by roughly 100,000 Texans. This got a little bit of media attention earlier this year, but nobody really takes it seriously.
That's Mike Leary. He's editor of the San Antonio Express News. He joined us from Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Dana Caulfield is the city editor of the Denver Post, and she joined us from Boulder, Colorado. Thanks to both of you.